All right, maybe we'll get started. So the next session is Hans Letcher and others on Elan.
Yeah, thank you very much. And yes, this talk is about Elan, about new developments in Elan, and new developments can still be developments of the past few years, and also some things that are being developed right now and are becoming available maybe soon or maybe later. So on behalf of my co-authors, and Sebastian Druid is also here, I will give this talk about new developments in Elan. So I'll start with a general overview, but a lot already has been said about Elan, and probably a lot is already known, but I'll just give a brief introduction anyway. And then I want to talk a bit about the working modes, and especially the transcription mode that has been developed over the past year or year and a half. Something about multiple file editing, tier-based operations. Interoperability is always an important issue for tools, and the last bit is about work in progress, internalization mode, and a framework called Lexan, which it should allow to have modules that do computational routines and produce annotations that can be included in Elan. So starting with the general overview, Elan is a multi-tier, multi-speaker, timelined annotation tool. So it's a tool for creating annotation for audio and video and data. So this time linking is a really important part of the work in Elan. It's available for Windows, macOS, and Linux, where I have to say that the Linux variant is kind of problematic because of the media player. The major part of Elan has been written in the Java programming language, but there are exceptions for the bridging to media players that are part of Elan. So Elan doesn't play the media itself, but delegates that to a native media player on the platform, and that's really a bit of a problematic part of the program. Current version is 4.5.1, and here's the URL where you can download it. So it's free and it's open source, and so people can contribute code if they want. Same situation currently as with the previous presentation. So in practice, currently, if you want to contribute code, then it has to go through us. So it's not really yet the case that it's easy, extendable by plugins. For a few parts of the program it is, but not for the program as a whole. So this is how an Elan window can look, where you have one or more videos, can have up to four videos displayed, display of the audio, and a timeline with the annotations relatively to the timeline, and some other views for the annotations that you have created already. So that's the basic idea of Elan. One thing that we've been working on lately is transcription mode. While in the Windows that you saw, that's still the main window and the main mode. It's now called annotation mode. That's the window, the setup where you can do almost anything. You can create time-aligned annotations, you can edit the annotations, you can change the alignment finally. But for specific tasks, we have developed new modes where the user interface changes and where the interaction is really focused on the task that you're working on. And there's two modes that I want to mention in this case: the segmentation mode for segmenting and transcription mode for entering text in a kind of tabular view, really focused on typing text. So the segmentation mode allows you to create annotations while the media is playing by just hitting a button at the begin time, at the end time. It has some configuration options that you can tune to your own behavior. And it doesn't allow you to enter text, only to create segments, and you can switch between tiers, between speakers, quite easily, always the keyboard, and then do a quick segmentation of your file. So once you have done this, you have these empty segments, then you can start entering text. And for that, we have created a special user interface for making that easy. So this idea is based on the workflow where you find segments and create the segments first and then label, enter the text later, instead of doing the whole sequence, finding the segment, creating the segment, listen and type, which is also a viable workflow, but there are a lot of people who work like this. They create the segments first and enter the text later. So the transcription mode is also keyboard oriented, and it's quite nice to see how similar it is with what has been presented in the previous presentation, a kind of spreadsheet view of your annotations, of your segments that you can fill in, and you click in one cell and the media starts playing that bit and you can type in, and the moment you hit enter you go to the next cell. So similar to what we've seen before. And the table, you can choose how to work in this table, just only one column at a time, let's say only the transcription of the language in question, or the text and the translation. So it allows you to specify which type of annotations you want in which column, and there's a setup for that where you can say what column should have which tier or tier types actually. So this is based on the types of tiers that has been mentioned before by Sasha in Elon. It's called linguistic types. I wouldn't like to mention that anymore because it's a kind of a strange name, because there's nothing linguistic about the types, but still it's it's used like that, and maybe we can change it at some point, but it has so long history, so I'm not sure if that's a good idea. But so based on the types you can specify what should be in what column, and it's based on this one-to-one relation between let's say the speech tier and translation tiers can be more. And so there's user interface for setting that up, and then you can decide whether you want to go from one column to the next and then to the next row, or whether you want to go first one column and enter all the text and then go to the next column and enter all the translation. So, and it's all keyboard oriented. Multiple file editing is also something that we've been working on quite a bit lately. And the idea is that if you have a lot of files, have been building a lot of files, and you have to do a certain operation and you have to do it over and over again, that takes a lot of time. So this is something that we will continue working on, that that more and more functionality that can be done reasonably on multiple files, that you can do it in one action in a kind of a batch mode, that so that takes away this hassle of opening a file, making a change, changing a tier name, and then saving it, and then opening the next file. So just a few of them, creating EAF files based on a template maybe for a whole series of media files that you have in the folder. You just select the folder, and then of all the media files in that folder, EAF files are created. Changing properties of tiers, names, that can be done for multiple files. So it's like working on a local corpus and then optimizing the workflow there. Tier-based operations can be done on multiple files. I'll talk about that later, what it is. Find and replace. And conversion of files, Toolbox and Prat are currently available. converting a lot of toolbox files in 1H to EAF files and vice versa. And there are a few other to export formats to other types of, like tab delimited text and word lists, etc. So the tier-based operations are operations that you can perform on two or more tiers, creating new tiers, new annotations by selecting a certain type of operation, like annotations from overlap, annotations from by subtracting, by merging, and annotations from gaps. So these are kind of simple computational procedures that you can apply to certain tiers and create new annotations that you can work on after that. For instance, annotations from overlap, you can find overlaps. There's a search engine included in Elan, and you can find overlapping annotations. But if you want to know how much overlap there is, then you still have to do some special work or have to go to Excel and try to find out how long the overlaps are. And using this kind of routines, then it's quite easy to extract that information, and some people use these operations to create tiers and then work from there to get to the results that they need. It's my impression that currently it's mostly used by people who do gesture research and that type of research, but still it could be interesting for this community as well. And things are not always so separated anymore, so a lot of people doing language documentation are at some point also getting interested in gestures, etc. And so this might be interesting for this community as well. Interoperability, it has been mentioned also before how important that is, and this is something that over the years we have been working on quite a bit, and especially Toolbox was, and I think still is, an important application for this community. And we have been working on import and export of Toolbox, and it has always been complicated and difficult and easy to break, and it probably still is, but it seems stabilized somehow, so that you can have a workflow of importing from Toolbox and exporting again. Praat is also very important, of course, and TextGrid has been supported for quite some time, and support for the short notation files of Praat is coming up. So one thing that Elan still doesn't have is the single point annotations. It has been discussed, and maybe we are going to implement that as well at some point. It's currently it's not there. So in Elan, an annotation always has a begin and an end time. And transcriber, we have import only, and what we want to do is also add support for the new file format. Currently it only imports the old one. Maybe more importantly, recently has become the flex interoperability, and this has been discussed this morning already. And it's nice to be able to add to what we have done in Elan. So there is some overlap in the activities of Sasha and Tom and what we are doing, and we have been in contact, and we introduced an import function in 2009, but waited with an export function because of this lack of being able to store time alignment and speaker information in a proper way. And so once that was available, then it took a bit more time maybe to work on that. And we are now working on import or changing the import and working on export. And I think in the next version of Elan, there will also be an export function. Our approach is so to add support for the new attributes that have been shown, begin time offset, end time offset, and speaker, where we can have in the future multiple top level tiers for multiple speaker. Currently, if you import a flex file because there was no speaker information expected, it is always has, let's say, one top level tier and everything is under that one tier. We had morph as a time alignable element in the import, and we changed that to have the word level as time alignable, as the smallest time alignable element, where we have to warn the user that that cannot really be exported to Flex anymore, because then the time alignment on the word level is lost, because Flex stores the time alignment on the phrase level. Also, what we want to improve a bit is like retaining some information on the type of words, for instance, like punctuation. We're planning to, when we import Flex file, to link the punctuation elements to an IsoCat data category, so that we, when we export back to Flex, that we know that that's a punctuation type of word. So we have a kind of tier mapping based on the elements in Flex. That's currently already the case, that you have major elements, item type, and item language. We construct the tier name based on those elements. And in the new version, it will be such that a speaker name, if it's there, or if there are different speakers, that is, you get a speaker ID, more or less, prepending this structure of major element, item type, and item language. So you see a little bit of the Flex text, and so the major elements are phrase, word, and morph, and then you have this, in these items, you have the language attribute and the type attribute that we kind of make part of the tier name currently. And as has been said before, currently Elon doesn't have a dedicated language attribute. It has only something for input methods called the default language in the user interface, but it's really not that. So that's just something that's planned to be added in the future version of Elon. So this is how new import window looks like, where there are a few new options to determine what elements you want to have separate linguistic types created. And that can be important because some of the functions, like in this transcription mode, are based on the linguistic types that you use for the tiers. So this is Flex screenshot, and with what already has been said, kind of fixed set of tiers or layers, and this is how it then looks in Elon. And there are options, so if you don't need the interlinear text part or in the paragraph part, then you will only have the sections under the phrase, and you can have multiple phrase, top level phrase tiers in the future for different speakers. And for the export that's coming up, we currently are working on, let's say, doing the reverse based on the tier names, creating the elements by parsing the tier names, knowing what goes in what element. And we are, after that, if that works, then we'll try to work on a user interface where you can specify mappings between your existing annotations or existing setup of tiers, and so that you can still export it to Flex, which will be probably can be quite difficult, but we'll still try to create some interface that you can specify these mappings. Finally, I want to talk a bit about work in progress. It's internalization mode, which will be a new mode with a new interface. Targeted for the task of doing the glossing and morphological parsing, and the connection from there with Lexan, which is a framework for modules that creates suggestions based on the input of one tier or one or more tiers, and creating new tiers, new annotations by applying some computational method. And we have done some work previously for audio and video in the Avatech project, where we have some sort of plugin mechanism for components that do recognition tasks on audio and video and create annotations. And that works, but still needs to be made more accessible to the public. And we are working on making web services so that it's more easy for users to make use of these methods and of these components to create annotations. And we're also working on connections with web services like WebLicht, and we have something for WebMouse and Typecraft, and I don't have time anymore to really go into that. So the last slide is about this interlinearization mode that's in progress, and it has been mentioned already before this morning by Sebastian that we are working on it. I personally had hoped that we had made a bit more progress in this, that we could show something here, but it's really quite difficult to create something and make plans and stick to the program, and but we're still working on it, and we hope that this Lexan framework, that it will be there will be an API so that people can create their own modules that can be linked to this interface. And and this will also be the link between Elon and Lexis. That's the vision that we have, that this Lexan framework will connect Elon to Lexis, and that's and in that way that we can do this morphological parsing and glossing, etc., and all other types of computational processing that you would like to do becomes possible and available in this mode. But it's in progress, not available yet, and it won't be in the next release of Elon, but hopefully soon after that. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Well, in principle, that shouldn't matter, let's say. So it's all, the text is all Unicode, and you can specify which font you want to use per tier. So if there's a Unicode font available, then it should work. So, but the fact, everything, all the content is in Unicode.
Yeah, you mentioned calling web services from Elan.
Yeah.
Are there security issues in this, calling web services from a desktop program? Do you have to struggle with browser?
It has nothing to do with browser. So Elan needs to be able to connect to a web service.
I see.
So if there's the web service available and some web services might require a login or so, then Elon needs to provide some login window. But apart from that, I don't see any security issues there. So it depends on the provider of the web service, what is required in order to be able to use the web service from
the protocol, from the server, whatever.
Depends, but I think most web services will be made available as a kind of a REST web service, and but that depends.
Say a couple of words about CMD creation, CMD metadata. Do you suppose to have a possibility to fill in CMD data from Elan?
Okay, so the CMD that was on the slide was really about the specification of audio video recognizer plugins. So it's not really for the CMD for the metadata. That's a different issue. That's not possible in Elan. We have RBIL for that, RBIL tool, and so the CMD that was mentioned before is just the format that we chose for specifying the parameters, etc., that the recognizer accepts. So currently in Elan you can show metadata, MD metadata, that that are relevant for the session that you're working on. We plan to also have support for SIMD metadata, if they have been converted from IMD to SIMD, but still as a viewer, so that you have them available in your Elan, so you can see them. But if you want to edit, then you can go to our bill, and it would be nice in the future to be able to open our bill from Elan or so. So if you want to edit this file, open this file in our bill. Or if Elan would become more modular, that you could have some part of our bill as a kind of a module or plugin in Elan, so that you can have it readily available within in the same window. That could also be.
I might add to that a bit that with Arbol, the plugins, we've got a plugin framework in Arbol, and that would allow potentially in future for tables to be shared into Elan, for instance, and vice versa. So,
so
in the future, there will be a lot more interoperability.
Yeah.
Is it actually possible in the latest versions to change the stereotype of an existing tier?
Not so easy, no.
Because
there can be all kinds of consequences that data get lost. Then in the past we decided to implement it such that you get a copy of a tier, so you can change the stereotype, but then it's copied, and then you can decide or you can check whether nothing was lost, and if so, whether you want to accept that something was lost and then delete the original. And we can maybe optimize that workflow, but really really changing it, that you can really change the stereotype and then lose maybe data. I don't know. Yeah, some people will say, yeah, do that, and other people will really blame us if one annotation gets lost and they didn't see it and we weren't warned. So, yeah, I don't know. So, in that sense, we're mostly amazing on the cautious side, and if there's the potential of losing data, then rather do it like this, do a copy, and then so that you explicitly have to delete the originals. Yeah, well, if we have time.
You mentioned export to word list.
Yeah.
What does that do?
It's just a list of unique words in a set of files as a plain text. So it's nothing fancy. Sorry?
Do you do morphological analysis, stemming? Is there
a
way
to No, it's just a list of words as there is. Okay, it's, let's say, the simplest version of word list that you can think of.
Are you going to plan for a text import, like a plain text import in the future? Because I have a lot of materials that were transcribed by hand.
Hmm.
They're all text files. It would be nice, once I segment them exactly the same as the lines in the text file, to just be able to say, suck it in and fill them all in.
Yeah. Well, you, with some workarounds, you can do that. You can copy all text in one annotation and then do this tokenization into sentences and into words. So, but yeah, we could think of making those steps, merging them into one step. Yeah, that would be an idea. Yeah,
because I'm envisioning going through hand segmenting the file, and I know perfectly well what's going to be going into each segment. So then skip the parts that aren't in the original text and import, and it just goes line by line and sticks in for each annotation automatically. That would be nice for a lot of people who've got older stuff from the 70s and 80s. It's already been typed up.
Yeah.
There is a web mouse, which is also now available as a web service from the BioResearch Spracharchiv, and they do alignment of written text and sound signal. And originally that was only for a couple of languages, but they tried it out for any language, and if you provide some clue which letter is more or less correspondent to which phoneme, it apparently works very well even for not described languages so far. And as Han mentioned, and we are already able to interact with WebMouse as a web service. We didn't do extensive tests, but my impression is that this is not too much work, that you can upload a text file in this framework to WebMouse, get it time aligned automatically, and get it back as an Elan file. Of course, many error checking must be done. You don't know what happens with false starts and so on. That has to be tested.
Yeah.
But the potential to have that seems to be really, really there, and it's a low-hanging fruit, depending on the accuracy of your transcription and the quality of your audio files, of course. But it seems to be reachable.
Yeah. So there are still limitations also on the web service. I think you can currently upload a WAV file of maximum of 20 megabytes and your text file. So this kind of limits still what you can do, but I think this is really something for the future and that we're working on that will make that kind of tasks much more easier and much more accessible also. I didn't see that happening.
It's a Behe script, so you've probably never seen anyone using a lot for it before, which is why.
There are people using right to left scripts, and for as far I know, it works only then. So in the annotations, you always see them on the left side of the annotation, which is not really intuitive. But reversing characters, I'm not really aware of. It sounds strange, but. Maybe we would have to look into a specific case, but it would be interesting to be able to implement really a right to left whole interface for our mode for Elan, so that you say, okay, I want everything right to left, and maybe also even, I don't know if that makes sense, to have the crosshair also the other way around. And that would be nice, but that's quite a bit of work. But I think that would be, if we can do it, if we have the means, then it would be interesting to pursue that and to make that.
All right, I think we should wrap that up there. Thanks very much.
Yeah.